the secondary. I know you guys are trying to, I guess, get all on the same page, new faces, and how do you feel like things are going?
It's really good. I think it's going very well. Like, we have a really good sense of chemistry together because, you know, Antoine, Charles Godfrey, and I, we were all drafted in the same class, so we kind of knew each other before, was able to have an idea of each other's personality, and it's really showing the way we're playing.
You've had a little knee or leg injury, I guess, that's been bothering, is a bone bruise?
No, it was just tweaked my knee a little bit, you know, just aggravated it, so I'll be back this weekend in practicing.
He, Coach said you re-aggravated it. When did it happen before?
It was, well, early in the season last year, and then the last time it was in college, early in college. So it's not like a every year reoccurring type of thing.
Is it something that you have to maintain regularly, or is it just something that just
seems? It was one of those, a little freak thing that happened on the field.
Yeah. I know you have it out there during the rain and the wetness, but how does a practice like this help you guys moving forward?
Just in terms of, you know, keeping a tempo to the practice and making sure that, you know, when the conditions aren't, you know, conducive to what we want them to be. You know, we want to be out there and have a good practice, have a lot of energy and fly around and still, you know, get some work out of the day.
With all the accolades this defense got last year with the linebackers, Luke, the front end guys, just talk about kind of the heat on the secondary guys to kind of perform to a high level to match those guys.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. We have to go out and match their intensity, match their level of play because, I mean, you don't get to be the number two defense in the NFL without a great front seven. So we want to go out there and put our stamp on this defense, make sure that there are no weak links in the chain and that you're going to have your work cut out for you when you come to Carolina.
Is the pressure kind of on you guys a little bit more in that regard, especially with some of the new faces trying to break in?
Yeah, most definitely. But, I mean, as DBs, as you know, on the back end, we invite pressure. We invite, you know, we want the spotlight to be on us. We want everybody to be relying on us because at the end of the day, if it gets behind us, it's 6 points.
Did you bring the Falcons playbook with you?
It's up here. I got it up here. Now, all committed to memory.
How does that kind of help you, the fact that you've been around this division and you're familiar with the opponents and you're familiar with this organization? How does that kind of help the transition?
It's good. I mean, because, you know, playing teams twice a year, you get to know familiar faces, get to, you know, have a little certain conversations and, you know, relationships with guys on the team. So, you know, it was a really easy transition. You know, Carolina's only 2.5 hours from Atlanta, 3 hours, you know, so it was a quick trip. From where I was at, I drove up, so it was you know, it wasn't too big of a transition. It was really easy.
2.5 hours you spent.
I won't say that. maybe I undershot the time of
Flowery
the ETA. Yeah, I was in Flowery Branch, Gainesville,
like,
actually.
What's it like trying to guard both those guys in Julio Jones and Roddy White?
They're two truly, truly gifted receivers. You know, you definitely have your work cut out trying to guard those guys, but you know, there's also scheme and everything involved with what, so you can put yourself in a better position to make a play, and just knowing them as athletes and as players, yeah, I think have a little bit of a leg up.
How about Kelvin? I mean, the other TV was talking about what a handful. He wouldn't admit he was a handful, but just how tough he could be going over the middle, just because he can get up there and get passes nobody else can.
Yeah, just a big body guy who's also can run and is athletic and catches the ball. Very, very, very well. He has really good ball skills. So, you know, if the ball is in his vicinity, in that bubble over there, his hands can get to it, you can almost bank that he's going to come down with it.
When your guys are out there, with him not on the field, does it change? I mean, do you have to pay more attention when he's out there because he's so big and you have to throw some double teams at him and all? Or?
Yeah, you always have to be mindful of a big target like that because, you know, he can go up top, he can take the top off the defense, and he can catch the ball in traffic, like I said. So, you know, we always have to be mindful of where he is and take that into account.
And Thomas, you were at Atlanta for a pretty successful period of time, probably their most in their history. Was there some level of dissatisfaction that you guys could never quite get over the hump and get to the ultimate game?
Yeah, I mean, if your goal is not to get to that ultimate game, there's a problem right there. But after being close so many times and getting to the playoffs and losing the first round, the second round, it weighed on us a little bit. I mean, I would be lying if I said it didn't.
What was your perception when you were down there of this organization?
Just a upswing organization, a team that was trending in, you know, getting to where they ended up last year, you know, in the playoffs, you know, competing and maybe a drive away, a couple plays away from being in a championship game. So, you know, I always saw that, you know, no matter what the record spoke of, you know, this team was always trending and getting better. It always was a team that was harder and harder to beat. each year.
Was Steve Smith someone who would get under your skin?
Yeah, it was. What's funny is, you know, as DBs, you know, it was always one of the things that we would, you know, talk about. You know, don't let him get to you. You know, he's one of those guys who's really energetic. He's gonna get excited after every play. So just go jog back to the huddle. And it was just, you know, one of those funny things where I would be amused by it. You know, like he would start going off, and I would just stand there and watch him and just laugh and just have fun with it. So,
what was like the most incendiary thing he ever said to you?
To me, I try to stay away from that type of stuff. So I usually try to keep it kind of jovial on the field. So he never even said anything that crazy to me. But I forget, one year it was somebody was talking to him, and he looked back and said to him, "Oh, you got your spot back?" And then he just, I fell out. I just started jogging. I fell out and just jogged to the sideline.
How about Cam when you were having to face that big quarterback for the first time? Do you remember what that was like?
It was one of those things like, hey, we got one of the best running and passing quarterbacks in the game right now, so we got to have all our I's dotted, our T's crossed, and, you know, our P's with the full circle to them. So, you know, we had definitely had our work cut out for us.
These guys have seen Burson in camp the last couple of years. Now he's starting to get a little more attention. What have you seen out of him?
I see a really good, you know, diamond in the rough, you know, like a guy who can really make a name for himself this year with the opportunity that he has. And he's one of those guys who's another guy with great ball skills, runs good routes, and he loves to compete.
From a secondary standpoint, can you talk about the comfort of having a front seven like you guys do?
Oh, it takes the load off of us so much. When we don't have to worry about the ball coming out, you know, 7 or 8 seconds, that's so much easier to cover for 3 seconds as opposed to 7 or 8. So if the quarterback can just pat the ball and just wait for guys to get open, it makes our job a lot easier.
How much do you guys need this preseason harder game just to kind of get, you know, I know you said you guys have chemistry in training camp, but training camp's not a game.
Yeah, definitely. We got to see it at full speed, full go, and then that our first chance will be on the 8th.
You mentioned about the rivalry between Atlanta and Charlotte up here, kind of friendly rivalry, or at times a little bad blood between the two teams.
Yeah, so, I mean, division games, you know, those are always some of the most competitive games in the regular season, and up until you get to the postseason. But, you know, division games are always going to be, you know, tooth and nail, scratching and clawing, and whoever wants it more is going to get it. So definitely, you know, tempers will flare, but it's all part of the game.
You talked about not having to sit back there and cover for 7 or 8 seconds. Was that an issue last year with you guys with the injuries?
I won't say necessarily that, but just in general as a defensive back, the shorter time of period that you have to cover is always easier.
You mentioned the fact that you guys were never able to get over the hump in Atlanta. You see what this team has done here last year. Did that kind of entice you? Did you see this as a potential opportunity to reach that milestone and get to the Super Bowl, win a championship?
It was in the back of my mind. Just like I said earlier, you know, there was a team that was trending on the upswing that was really starting to, you know, be able to do something special. And I would, like I said, I would be lying if I said that wasn't part of my decision. But also, you know, this front seven, this great defense, and being able to, you know, put my stamp on it and being able to put my name on a great defense like this. Sorry about that.
Just your thoughts on what it's been like to play with Kaysen and maybe the kind of guy he is on and off the field.
Oh, he's a great dude. He's the type of guy that you want to be around, want to hang around. He likes to have fun. You know, we have fun in our DB room. You know, if you walk past our meeting room sometimes, you'd think it was a comedy show in there. So, but we have a great room, you know, from top to bottom, old guys to young guys. So I'm really excited to see what we can do together.
Like impressions or, I mean, what's the...
Yeah, any impressions, jokes, you know, you can't get away with saying too much without getting made fun of in the DB room. You know, everything's free game.
What do you bring?
I do some impressions, you know, just, you know, I'm kind of a free thinker, you know, California guy, so just been able to think funny jokes.
Well, what's the go-to impression that usually kills every time?
Usually it's a coach. I'll be able to get a coach, but I haven't found my coach yet. I'm trying to hear different guys' voices and, you know, catch their, you know, their inflictions and stuff, so I can pinpoint one coach.
Sounds like you might be in that, kind of a Frank Caliendo in training.
A little bit. I've done a little bit of voice acting, so that's one of the things I definitely want to pursue when I'm done.
What have you tell us about?
Oh, it was an episode of Aqua Teen Hunger Force on Adult Swim Cartoon Network. You seen? Are you familiar with it? No, but yeah, it was. I did a couple voices on that show.
Really? Yeah.